And bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Romans 14:5, the Word of God says in the B part of the verse, "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. How is it that I can be fully persuaded of anything in my own mind? How is it that I can be fully trusting of anything in my own mind? Very often it's very challenging for us when we encounter difficulties, or maybe things that are not so difficult. Maybe we're actually experiencing times of great prosperity, and it's very difficult for us to be completely persuaded in our own mind. Paul is talking about something here that's important, that is necessary for every believer to be really a victorious believer, both in the trials and in the times of abounding. I have to be fully persuaded in my own mind. If I'm not fully persuaded in my own mind, when I have success, perhaps, especially if it is outward success, then I'll be very tempted to think that it's me who has produced it. This is why Paul had a messenger from Satan to buffet him. Because he had tremendous success. He had tremendous credentials. He had tremendous experiences. He saw the hand of God. He was taught personally by Christ one-on-one for 3 years in the backside of the Arabian desert. He was taught by the risen Savior. Not even like the other apostles who were taught by the Savior who came as a man prior to the cross, taught them the ways of God. They saw the cross, they saw the ascension, yes. But Paul was taught by the risen Savior, the glorified Savior, for 3 years. He saw him, talked to him, met with him face to face. Then he goes to heaven in Lystra. Sees God, sees the secrets of heaven, things that he said he must not repeat. This man needed to be persuaded in his own mind. And part of that persuasion in Paul's case was a messenger from Satan to buffet him. Why? Because pride would have elevated him to the point of lack of persuasion. In humility, a person will be persuaded in their own mind. In some respects, when referring to this persuasion in our own mind, it's easier for a believer to be persuaded if they're in difficult trials rather than trials of success, trials of abundance. Why? Because in my difficult trial, it's less difficult to become persuaded in my own mind. What do I need to be persuaded of? First, I need to be persuaded of that I actually need God. First, I need to be persuaded of that apart from Him, I can do nothing. And this is where a success trial is a very difficult trial, because I can be persuaded in my own mind, if humility does not reign, that apart from Him, I could do something. But that's not the truth. Apart from Him, I can do nothing, the Word of God says in John chapter 15. And so, we are to be persuaded in our own mind. In our own mental faculty, with our own estimation, in our own thoughts, in the way that we reason things out, we are to be persuaded. What am I persuaded of? I'm persuaded of the veracity of God's Word. I'm persuaded of the faithfulness of God. I'm persuaded of the character of God. I'm persuaded of the promises of God. I'm persuaded of the ways of God. I'm to be persuaded. Not because of what you tell me, but in my own mind. That will come from what I hear, because faith does come by hearing, but eventually it has to become a part of who I am. But how can I be persuaded? In other words, what is it that's so persuasive that I should be persuaded? For example, in our ministry, we say to young people, don't date. God will have somebody for you at the right time, and it'll be the right person, God's choice for you. Don't date. Wait on God to bring you that right person and reveal to you when the time is right who that person is. Well, how in the world is somebody supposed to be able to do that if they are not persuaded? Because you have biology, you have hormones, you have the world, and often you have other Christians telling you, that's not the way to do it, go do it yourself, go find them yourself, go about it your own way. How is it going to happen if you don't do it? Well, the same way the call happens, but they don't talk about that. Well, without that persuasion, I won't have anything. Without that persuasion, I won't have conviction. So how is it that I can be persuaded? Like, what is so persuasive? And the answer is right here in 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. That's what's so persuasive. You were bought with a price. Therefore, be not servants of men. Don't be so unpersuaded that you will be submissive to the will of those who are mere men rather than to the will of God. Whether it's your own will or whether it's the will of another person. Don't be so unpersuaded. Why? Because you've been bought with a price. That's the point of persuasion. You were bought and there was a price to purchase you with. God paid the price. You were purchased. This is why my life is not my own. The Word of God says that, right? Our lives are not our own. Why? Because we've been purchased. There was a price on our heads, on our lives. And we've been purchased. There was one who paid it. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Word of God says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So now I know that I was purchased, and I know that it was God who purchased me. It was the plan of the Father, executed by the Son and brought to me by the Spirit, that I am not my own. I belong to God. He is the one who purchased me. He is the one who owns me, and He has every right, but not just right, and responsibility to and for my life. This is why Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Because his life was God's right and responsibility. Why is it God's responsibility? Because God purchased him. The things that I own are my responsibility. If I own a house, the house is my responsibility. If I own a car, it's my responsibility. If I own a pencil, it's my responsibility. God purchased us, and we are now God's. We are His. We are His purchased possession, and therefore we are His responsibility. And this is also why He has a right to my life, but also a responsibility for my life. This is why very often I may desire one thing, but God's plan has something different for me. This is why there is even a plan for my life. The unbeliever has no plan for his life. Why? Because albeit he was purchased, he was never redeemed. Because he rejected the God of redemption. So his experience never possessed redemption. But the believer had a plan established for his life from the foundation of the world. Why? Because he was purchased. The importance of this recognition in my life is paramount. If I don't recognize that I am purchased, not only will I think I have a right to do things my own way, that's the minimal thing. That's the trivial part of it. The important part of it is I won't have a capacity to trust God for the things of God. But only in the recognition of the fact that I was purchased will I be able to trust God for the things of God. Because I am His, I'm His responsibility. And God is not slack. God does not neglect what is His. God does not neglect His responsibilities. My life may be a mess, but I'm God's mess. And if He bought a mess, then that's what He bought. And I'm His responsibility to put my life back together. Because God's not going to have a non-functioning body. So my entire life and the details of my entire life are God's responsibility. Without this recognition, I will never have the ability to have faith rest. Because there will always be the notion in my mind, will God really be faithful to do all He said concerning me? Will God be faithful to answer my prayers? Will God be faithful to His promises? Will God be faithful to take care of me? Will God be faithful to guide me? Without recognizing that I have been purchased, I won't have the ability to trust Him that He will in fact, in all cases, be faithful, because there's always going to be the thought in the back of my mind, what if He doesn't want to? Well, in this manner of speaking, God doesn't have the choice. Because God's word is always yea and amen. His promises are always true. Therefore, what does this tell me? Therefore, this tells me that because God esteems His word above His own name, He doesn't have a choice but to be faithful to all that He said. We're purchased. We are in the greatest position that any created being can possibly be in. You see, this is why we are in a better position than the angels. Now, right now in our experience, we're below the angels, but the angels are never going to be the bride of Christ. They are beloved by Him, but they are not His bride. Why? Because we're purchased and they're created. We're created and purchased. So the one who made us also was willing to pay a price for us. This is what redemption is all about. That the one who made us desired us so much that He was willing to pay a price. This is why you can be persuaded. Because you have been bought. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as we know that we were not bought with for as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, for from your vain lifestyle," the King James says conversation, but that actually is talking about lifestyle, "received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." It always amazes me what a high premium people put on silver and gold. Much evil in the world has taken place because of heaven's pavement. Yet people are unsure whether God is going to be willing to take care of them. How many people are unsure whether God is going to be willing to bring in, let's say, a financial provision for them to meet their needs? Well, think about what you're asking. Think about what you're thinking if this is what you are actually saying to yourself. Will God be faithful to me? God shed His blood, and I'm not sure if He's willing to give me cement. Because that's all that gold is in heaven, is nothing more than cement. And the streets are paved with it. So, God, can I have some cement? No, cement's too good for you. Can I have a little bit of gravel? No, gravel's too good for you. I'm not interested in giving you any gravel. What kind of foolishness is that? God said, I will meet all your needs. My God will supply all my needs. Right? Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all my needs. Gravel is in abundance. The blood only belonged to Christ. Yet Christ was willing to give that blood as the purchase price. So why in the world would God be unwilling? Right? In Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All things. All things. We have been purchased. What is God going to withhold from us when He was willing to purchase us? And not with something as simple and trivial as silver or gold that people put such an amazing premium on. That always struck me. You can't eat gold. You can't eat gold. You can't drink gold. You can't breathe gold. Yet people act like it's the end all. But you can't even eat it. People are like, what am I going to put my money in uncertain times? I'll put it in gold. You mean you're going to put it in a rock? Really? You're going to put it in a rock? But it's a valuable rock. Up to a certain point. But there have been times in history when people would have given up all the rocks they possessed to get a sandwich. Is that really what you're going to get? Is a rock? How many people try to trade the call of God, right? How many people trade the call of God, the will of God in their lives for gravel? Because that's all that gold really is. You mine it out of the ground, you make it into a nice square, you polish it up, it's all pretty and shiny. And it's yellow. Yellow is cool. That's those brimstone. But God will supply these things. God is not stingy or cheap. We put a premium on gold. God does not. But it does not mean that He was not willing to freely, with Christ, give us all things. He is very willing to freely supply my gravel, as much gravel as I need. Why? Because He paid something far greater than gravel for me. And so I never have to be afraid of that. People are afraid of the economy. They're terrified what's going to happen. They get all anxious and nervous and worried about how are the markets going to crash? Is Europe going to crash? I mean, Italy is now going down the drain. Greece has already been there. It's going to take Europe. It's going to take us. It's going to take Japan. It's going to take China. It's going to take India. It's going to take everybody. And they're pulling out. What do I do? It's very simple what you do. Put your trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. That's what you're going to do. Walk by faith and not by sight. That's what you're going to do. You know why successful people in bad times become successful? Because they have a different perception of bad times than other people have. And that's all that sight is simply a perception of the external conditions. Well, one perception is devastating disaster. Another person's perception is major opportunity. Why? Because they're thinking differently. See, I'm playing my arms. They're thinking differently. Why? Because there's something that they realize, or perhaps something they know that the other ones do not. There's something that we believers know that the world does not. There's something that the Bible tells me that if I believe it, I possess, that those who don't believe in the Bible do not. And what is that? Peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because I have been purchased by one who not only can deal with the economy, but He created the earth on which the economy is based. Do you realize the whole economy of the world is based on nothing more than stuff in the earth? Whether it be gravel, yellow gravel, or black water. The whole economy of the world is based on nothing more than stuff that God created. It's in the earth, and we have to dig it out. Yeah, we have a God. We're seated above. We have a Father who calls us His beloved. We have a Savior who calls us His bride. And we wonder, am I going to make it? Father, can I have some gravel? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That means He owns all the wealth. And what is the wealth of the world anyway? If that's all the wealth God has, then God has a pittance. I mean, consider it. Get online and look at that photograph, pale blue dot. This is what people are waging wars for? This is what people are so anxious for? This is what the collapse of this is what really scares everybody? This little pinprick in the sky? And yet, this is what I think God is not able to deal with? Who created not only that little pinprick, not only the solar system it's located in, not only the galaxy that the solar system is in, not only the cluster that the galaxy is in, not only the supercluster that that's in, but the entire universe! When He says all things, do you realize He means the entire universe? Much more than the pinprick in the sky? God will freely with Him give us all things because we have been purchased. How many people are anxious about their futures in one regard or another? You have been purchased. That's why you have a future. You have been purchased. That's why there is a plan. You have been purchased. That's why you can trust Him. Because He found that you were valuable enough to purchase you. So you don't have to be afraid of diddly. Why? You have been purchased. There's a good biblical word, diddly. What's that in the King James? Diddlyeth. That's only for verbs. Diddly-o-my. In the Greek. It means diddly. You've been purchased. And the price was something profoundly precious. There was no commodity in the universe. It took a commodity in eternity. And that was the greatest commodity in eternity. Was the blood of the Lamb. And that was the purchase price. And God said, so! And He shed that blood and I am purchased. So what does that mean for me? I don't have to worry about beans. I don't have to be afraid of anything. I don't have to worry about how anything is going to turn out. Because my life is not my own. It's been bought by the Savior. My life is God's problem. Because He bought it. It's like buying a house with a lien. You buy a house with a lien, you've got a debt. We don't have a lien, but we did have a debt. So God bought us and He bought our problems. And He's far more than able to take care of those problems. Not only is that His ability, it's also His responsibility. And He isn't slack. The Word of God says in Deuteronomy 33:27 that the eternal God, not the temporal God, in other words, it's not a God who might go away, It's not a God who someday might die. It's not a God who someday might just vanish or have something better to do. The eternal God is your refuge. The God who always was, is, and will be is your refuge. Does God have time for me? He's got all eternity for you. In a manner of speaking, He's got nothing else to do. Why? Because He is eternal and He is everywhere present. And the universe is just something that is contained within eternity. He's far beyond the universe. So you have no need to fear. You have no need to worry. You have no need to anxious. How is it going to turn out? I'm so afraid how it's going to turn out. You've been purchased! You don't need to worry about the turnout. The turnout is God's responsibility. It's His job. It's His problem. It's His issue. It's His plan. You have been purchased. And He is a refuge. That means if anything comes against you or you are afraid of anyone, nothing can come against you because no weapon formed against you can prosper. It is not even a remote possibility because you have been purchased by God. Show me a weapon that can prosper against God, and then I'll show you a weapon that can prosper against you. Yet people get into situations and they're so afraid of a negative turnout, completely forgetting that they have been purchased. You don't need to be afraid of how things are going to come out. That's why you can thank God for the outcome now. Why? Because you've been purchased. The plan has been established on the foundation of the fact that you have been purchased. The outcome is already present on the foundation of the fact that in Hebrews 4:3, the works are finished from the foundation of the world. Why? Because you have been purchased. Do you get it? You have been purchased. That's why I don't have to be anxious about how I'm going to make out in my life, how I'm going to do with a living, how I'm going to have a career, how I'm going to get my education, how I'm going to enter into the call, how I'm going to find a spouse, how I'm going to make a life, how I'm going to do anything. How am I going to go soul? When am I going to go to save people when I go soul? And tell them God loves them. You have been purchased. You have no need of fear. What if God doesn't want to? You know, that is such a dumb question. It's a natural question, but it's a dumb question. What do you mean, what if He doesn't want to? What does that have to do with anything? You've been purchased. How many people go to work every morning despite the fact that on some mornings they don't want to? We say, well, I've got responsibilities, I better get in there. And you think God is going to not fulfill His responsibilities because He doesn't want to? Oh, get a grip! You have been purchased! Get it through your thinking. Let your mind be fully persuaded. I don't know if I'll ever get an answer to that prayer. It's so big. It's okay. God is far bigger. You have been purchased. Your tiny little situation on the little tiny little cosmic pinprick in the middle of the universe is not that big. God purchased you. He did it with His blood, and He'll take care of all things that concern you. He will, in fact, perfect all the things that concern you. He will bring them to completion. He will take care of them. Why? You've been purchased. It's simple as that. You have been purchased. The Word of God says in Luke 11:21 that when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Do you believe that God is not a strong man, armed? When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. Why in the world do you think that he would not take care of what he possesses? God will take care of all the details of your life because you are his goods. And he is a strong man. You don't need to be afraid of any outcome. You don't have to be afraid of any detail. You don't have to be afraid of any circumstance. You don't have to be afraid of sight. You don't have to be afraid of anything at all. Because you have been purchased by a very strong man. The Word of God says in Romans 8:37 that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all what things? Well, it's from verse 35. In all tribulations, in all distresses, in all persecutions, in famine or nakedness or peril or sword. That means all the details of your life. Anything that can come against you that is in any way negative to you, you are more than a conqueror. Why? Because you've been purchased. It's not you that needs to do the fighting. God does the fighting. Can you imagine somebody comes into your house and tries to steal, I don't know, a lamp? Nobody steals lamps. A DVD player or something, a television, whatever. Can you imagine the television say, okay, let's have it out now. You're not taking me anywhere. Let's have it out. No. What happens? If you happen to be in the house and you happen to be a strong man armed, they're not taking squat. Why? Because they won't get that close to the television to be able to even touch it. Do you think you are not of more value than a television? You have been purchased. Therefore, you are more than a conqueror. God is not able to be unfaithful to the believer. Even if the believer doubts, even if the believer doesn't have capacity, even if the believer confesses with negative confession, God will still be faithful to the believer. If we believe not, He is still faithful. Why? Because I don't care about if my sofa has a strange color, which it does not, it's a nice sofa. But I don't care if it has a strange color. It's my sofa. That's all that's to it. It's my sofa. So even if the sofa has a strange color, I'm not getting rid of it. How many people have had their dog mess on their sofa? Did they throw the sofa out or did they just clean it up? God doesn't throw it out. He cleans it up. Simple as that. Why? Because it's their sofa. We're, in that sense, we're God's sofa. We are. We're God's resting place. That's why He purchased us. You've been purchased. You get it? You've been purchased. In Romans 14:4, the Word of God says that if somebody comes against me and judges me, they're not able to do anything with it. It says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and yea, he will be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Yes, he will be held up. God is able to make him stand. Why? You've been purchased. God did not stop purchasing you because you were flawed. God did not ignore you because you had sin in your life. God did not neglect you because you have been backslidden. God did not disown you because you failed. No, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So it doesn't matter what is the condition of your experience, God still purchased you and you are still His possession, and that's not going to change. Why? Because in John chapter 10, Jesus said that no man can pluck us out of God's hands. So I don't care what your dilemma is or problem is in that regard, you are still the possession of God. But you don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. You are still the possession of God. God's blood was still shed for you. His blood still cleanses you from all sins in Revelation 1:5. You are the possession of God. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God because you are the possession of God. So if you get attacked by somebody or if you get accused by somebody, whether it's false or not or true, it doesn't make a hill of beans a difference. You are the possession of God. Do you realize what that means? Do you realize what a tremendous mistake it is for any human being to come against another believer? When the Word of God says in Romans 8:33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It's God who justifies. Why does God justify us? Because He purchased us. This is why if somebody's walking around poking God in the eye by attacking you, there's nothing that's ever going to be able to come of it against you. God's going to deal with that person. That is the scariest place to be in the universe. What? Being one who accuses another believer of anything true or false, it doesn't matter because that believer is washed in the blood of the Lamb and that person has been purchased and that person is God's and he's the apple of God's eye and no one and nothing can ever come against that person. Instead, God opposes those people because of their pride. He comes against them in military action, and that's how the original language phrases it. It's a military conduct of action. God opposes that person. Why? Because they're poking him in the eye. Duh. Never, ever poke God in the eye. He's a strong man. Never, ever poke God in the eye. The Word of God says in Hebrews 8:12, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their iniquities I will remember no more." So if somebody comes against you because, let's say, you made a mistake, and that person now starts repeating it, do you realize that they are now in an opposition program on the against them from God? That's scary. That's terrifying to me. Pastor Stevens used to really not like writing recommendation letters for certain ones because he could never repeat a negative thing about them, even if they weren't a good employee of his. And he wouldn't. Why? Because they were purchased. And he knew very well that even though it may have been factually, historically true, it was a complete lie to go against them. Why? Because they've been purchased. And he was not going to violate the purchase price. The Word of God says in 1 Samuel 26:9, when Abishai finds Saul sleeping, knowing that Saul is David's enemy, and says, "Okay, David, we can kill him now, because he's trying to kill you and we can take care of your problem." What does David say to Abishai? He says, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" Why? Because Saul may have been his enemy, but he was still purchased. And David knew the value of the purchase price. This is why that guy who came falsely claiming that he killed Saul, when he goes up to David and says, "I killed your enemy," Hey, what am I going to get for it? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? And David says to him in 2 Samuel 1:14, he says, David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And he said, your own blood is on your hands. Why? Because Saul was purchased, and David knew the purchase price, and David knew what it was that Saul was anointed, and David knew what it was that God had taken care of Saul, and David knew what it was that God was in control, and David knew what it was that God had a perfect plan and a perfect will and a perfect time, and David knew what it was to be a believer. David knew that Saul was the apple of God's eye, even though he hated David. Even though in his experience he turned out to be a wicked man, he was still the apple of God's eye. And David said, don't touch him. And then David said, how dare you touch him? Because Saul was purchased. Now I ask you, in the situations of your life, who's going to come against you? Who is it that's going to challenge you for anything? Who is it that can lay any accusation against you, any charge to you? Well, I'll tell you one thing, if they do, they will be found guilty. That's also in Romans chapter 2. That what I accuse someone of, I'm guilty of. Now, it doesn't talk about veracity. No one could say that Paul was a killer. No one. Why? Because he was purchased. He was cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. His sins were washed away and forgotten. And he was purchased. Therefore, no man could lay those charges against Paul, one of God's elect. He was purchased. That's why God could say that David was a man after his own heart. Because David was purchased. And the only time when David's mistakes were brought up to him were not for accusation, but for correction. And when the correction has taken place, the mistake was removed. Because David was purchased. In our lives, how often do people get afraid saying, well, this bad thing happened and I kind of caused it. I was careless. I was whatever. I caused it. I allowed it to happen. It was because of me. So? Does that mean that somehow all of a sudden you're unpurchased? Does that mean that all of a sudden God is no longer your owner, your master, your Lord? Does that mean that God has disowned you? When He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No. You're still purchased. God knew what He was getting into when He bought you. He knew I was a lemon. But He bought me anyway. Go figure. God likes lemons. We need a t-shirt. God likes lemons. This correction. God loves lemons. No, He purchased you. He knew who you were and He purchased you. In Philippians 2:13, it's for God to will and to work all His good pleasure. That's what it says. God will and work all His good pleasure in you. It's not for you to become willing to carry out God's will. It's for God to cause you to be willing. There's a lot of people who are called to be a pastor who want nothing to do with it. Why? Because they're not willing. Why? Because it's scary. But then as that person grows, God gives them a willingness. God may ask you to do something you don't want to do, but not before He makes you willing to do it. And by willing, I don't mean a grudging willingness either. I mean it becomes the desire of your heart. I know a guy who was a missionary. I'm not going to say where to because I want to protect his privacy. And he didn't want to be a missionary there. And then after a little season, he said, I would never leave that place. There was nothing about the place that naturally appealed to him. But God made him not only willing, but it became the desire of his heart. That's what he means willing. God is not saying grudgingly do things and be miserable doing it. No, God gives you the desires that your heart possesses. That's part of willing to do. And then He performs whatever He calls you to. The Word of God says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. How many people are worried about their steps? Am I making the right decision? Am I making the wrong decision? Am I going where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing the thing I'm supposed to do? Am I making a mistake? Am I getting it right? Don't worry about it. Stop worrying. Start resting. Believe God and know that you have been purchased. And because you have been purchased, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Your steps are God's responsibility. That means even your decisions are God's responsibility. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So you don't have to worry about whether or not you're making some kind of a mistake. If you're making a mistake, God is more than able to correct your mistake. But what if I destroy things in the process? Then acknowledge Him in all your ways and He'll direct your path. Your portion is to go to the one who purchased you, and His portion is to do all the rest. Don't sweat it. Just relax. For Pete's sake, enjoy your life. But you're not going to enjoy it unless you realize you've been purchased. Because unless you realize you've been purchased, you're going to think it's all your responsibility, and that's no fun. But if you realize that you're purchased, then all the responsibility, all the burden has been removed from you and put in the only place where it can be taken care of and the only place it belongs. Your burdens don't belong to you. So stop trying to pick them up. Your burdens belong to God. Let Him deal with them. You just enjoy His presence, enjoy His Word, enjoy His blessings, enjoy all that He has for you, enjoy the fact that He has a plan, and enjoy watching Him work on your behalf. And stop worrying about how you're going to do things, how you're going to manage things, how you're going to... anything. Your life is God's possession and responsibility. Because you have been purchased. God fights our battles. Why does God fight our battles? Because we've been purchased. 2 Chronicles 32:8. Whoever comes against you doesn't make any difference. With them is the arm of the flesh, but with you is God. So with them is the arm of dust, with you is God. Hey, you ever find a dust bunny in your house? Just this big old dust ball? I know most of you never find this in your house, but just imagine this. Let's put it this way. You ever find a dust ball in somebody else's house? Because it's not in your house. We know it's not in anybody here. But you find out, you go over somebody's house and there's this big old dust ball. Have you ever stood on it? What do you think would happen if you stood on a dust ball? Do you think it would like pick you up and throw you over? Say, I'm the mighty dust ball. Can you imagine this though? With them is the arm of the flesh. The flesh is nothing more than dust. With you is God. And yet people are worried about the arm of the flesh. Hello? Has it ever occurred to you that God will fight that battle? Why? Because He says He will. That's why. In 1 Samuel 17:47, the Word of God says that all the assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with a sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's. In other words, the Lord's not going to save you by having you do the fighting. He may ask you to get out on the battlefield like He did Joshua, but once you enter that battlefield, they're just going to fall. They're going to fall over. Once you get up to the Red Sea parts. Once you put your foot in the Jordan separates. Once you enter into the battle is God's, and He fights it. You don't actually have to even do the fighting. He may say, get out on the battlefield, but I'll do the fighting. So you don't even have to worry about that much. Why? You've been purchased. That's why. Why did America go to war? Because Al-Qaeda destroyed two of our buildings and killed 3,000 people. Why did we go to war? Because those were ours. Those were our people, those were our buildings. You go to attack a strong man, he's going to knock your lights out. Somebody comes against you, and in a manner of speaking, God knocks their lights out. Why? You've been purchased. And God is not politically concerned about how the battle is going. God just takes him out. Simple as that. You have been purchased. Do you get this? You have been purchased. Finally, in Romans 8:38, I am persuaded that absolutely nothing, I don't care what it is, that absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God. Why? I've been purchased. I don't care if it's demonic. I don't care if it's earthly. I don't care if it's the past, the present, the future. I don't care what it is. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, because He purchased me, and of this I am fully persuaded. So when the Word of God says, be persuaded in your own mind in Romans 14:5, it's because you have been purchased. And because you are purchased, it's all God's responsibility. And God is more than able. God created it. And He's very capable of taking care of the one He bought. Amen?